everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Tom, very happy right now. I just saw him consume a beautiful looking donut to kind of get all...
Yeah. Chocolate covered, no less.
Chocolate covered to get that... To fuel you, let's put it that way.
Sugar charge.
Sugar charge through the hour. It is Friday, March 10th, 2017. By the way, the program re-airs on Saturday afternoon at 4 here on KVOI. And we are here Monday through Friday during the noon hour. And you don't need to really be in front of a radio anymore. If you're around a computer, that's fine. We've got worldwide listening with our live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Some of our media friends we like to acknowledge on Friday. Dylan Smith over at tucsonsentinel.com. Dylan, a big supporter of our work. As is Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans, all are big supporters. With me in studio here in Tucson, Linda Valdez, Arizona Republic editorial writer and columnist, and author of the acclaimed book, Crossing the Line, A Marriage Across the Border. Linda, you'll be very busy this weekend at the book festival, correct?
Yes, I will. I'm on two panels, Saturday and Sunday.
This is the 9th annual Tucson Festival of Books. It is a very big deal on the U of A campus, and we'll get those venues later in the program, Linda, where people can come out and say hello to you.
Sounds good.
Also with us in studio, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, a little bit of a traffic tie up out on I-10. They were doing some tree trimming along the freeway.
Yeah, actually, I-19 North. It's about a three-mile backup.
Oh, only three?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, the Arizona Board of Regents on Monday has a special meeting to finalize the selection of the next University of Arizona president and to begin the contract negotiations with Dr. Robert Robbins, the chief executive of the Houston-based Texas Medical Center. He is the choice of the regents. Let's go now on the live line. Rick Myers is with us. Mr. Myers, a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, and he is one of the regents representing Southern Arizona. Rick, how are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon to everyone.
Thank you. Why is this the right choice, Rick Myers?
Well, he's a great man. I mean, I believe, and I think all of us believe, that leaders do matter. And at this time, when we look at the opportunities and challenges that affect our state, that affect higher education, affect our ability to compete in the world, we're getting an individual here who's a great medical doctor, a great surgeon, a great business person, a great researcher. He's the complete package, and we're excited that he's going to help U of A to achieve even greater heights.
He talked about when he met with some people this week on campus that he wants to make the U of A special. How is he going to do that, Rick?
Well, you know, I'd like to think U of A is already a pretty special place. Mm-hmm. It's one of the top research institutions in the world, and it does a great job educating our young people. I think, though, when we talk about that worldwide reputation, what he's looking at is how can we really make a difference in the future of humanity? And when he speaks to people, he talks about the fourth industrial revolution. And that's the idea of the digital world, the physical world, and the biological world coming together. And when you look at U of A with the Banner relationship in health sciences, you look at the tremendous physical sciences that we've had forever, and you look at the digital thing that's happening to all of us with all the iPhones we carry around, with everything that goes on day to day, U of A is a place that can bring all of that together and come up with solutions that will benefit humanity. Dr. Robbins talks about things like drones that will go out into the fields and analyze crops and figure out what bugs are there and how to have higher productivity, and we're a land-grant institution. You talk about medicine and using your iPhone to look at a mole on your arm and let it go search billions of pictures and come back and give a diagnosis if you need to go see your doctor or not. I mean, he can give so many examples of things that will help humankind as we go forward, and he can't think of a better place than U of A to bring all of that together.
All right, let's welcome now Linda Valdez to the discussion.
Hi, Mr. Meyer. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Linda. Thank you.
There's been some concern expressed about the process of selecting this president, that it was very closed door and quiet, there were two finalists announced, two candidates were announced, and the finalist then was announced in Phoenix, which seems a bit odd to those of us who live in Tucson, where the UA is located, but also just the lack of openness about who the candidates were, why none of the local folks were considered, or if they even applied. So I'd just like you to respond, because in the past, these processes, not with Dr. Hart, but prior to that, these searches have been much more open, and the students and faculty at the U of A had played much larger role in vetting the candidates.
Yeah. Now, Linda, I appreciate the question, and I appreciate the feeling behind that. And, you know, I led the search with Senator DeConcini that resulted in Dr. Hart, and I also led the search up in Flagstaff that hired Dr. Chang. You know, some of that is kind of what's happening within higher education. If I look at this search, you know, Bill Ridenour and Ron Schubman were the two regents that co-chaired the search. They had 27 people on the search committee, students, faculty members, business people, people from all walks of life in our community. They had, you know, over 100 people that they looked at. They interviewed a tremendous number of people, many great candidates, and they came up with two great recommendations for the full Board of Regents to review. Many of those people, and I had the opportunity to have dinner and talk to a number of the people along the way, they value their current positions. And the concern is, I would love to be president of U of A, but if I'm not going to get the job, but it's visible that I'm currently involved in this search, I could be fired from my current job. And our desire is to run a process as open as it could be and generate the very best people so we could come up with the best president. And the way we did this search is very commonplace now at senior public research universities. Most of them run searches where they don't bring everyone to campus and have everyone input, because if you do that, you end up having a lot of really great people who say, I just can't expose myself that way and I can't make myself available. So, we tried to be as open as we could. We didn't do something different from most other public research universities. And in the end, I feel good that the regents were able to at least make these two top prospects' names available. We got a lot of input from people from that. And we feel very good and that both of them are outstanding individuals, but that Dr. Robbins is the right person for where U of A is right now to go to the next level.
And just about the point about announcing it in Phoenix before Tucson, now you know there's a rivalry between the two cities that is legendary. That seems like a bit of a slap in the face to Tucson. Why did it happen that way?
I wish we had thought of that, because we probably should have come down here to do that. The regents met up in Phoenix, and because, you know, we had so much media attention looking for the name, maybe we should have had that meeting down here. I think it was a convenience that most of the regents are up in Maricopa County or Flagstaff. So that's an oversight, and I apologize for that, but certainly it was not meant to in any way prioritize Phoenix versus Tucson. I mean, we look at this is the University of Arizona, not the University of Tucson or Phoenix or any place else. And, we're very proud of the university. So I'm sorry if it came across that way.
All right. Let's bring Dan Scheer of Green Valley News and Sarita Sun into the conversation.
Hey, Rick. I think you're right that candidates do have a legitimate concern when it comes to letting current employers know that they're applying elsewhere. But isn't the overriding concern the public's right to be involved in the process and to know what is going on? And could that not have been done a little bit better, even if we had brought two or three candidates to the campus and had some sort of a public forum where we could weigh in on them rather than just 27 people doing it. And I agree that 27 is a broad cross-section, but I was looking at a couple of other universities, Western Michigan for one, Oakland University. They would bring in the final three candidates. They would meet the community. They would, you know, gather data based on those meetings and then make a decision. Could it not have been a little bit more inclusive?
We could have done it a different way, working with our search consultant and our own experience. We felt the way we did it was the best for the state and for the people of the state. If you bring people to campus, then it's visible. It's in the newspaper. When they go back home, they can't say, well, yes, I was a prospect and the Regents in Arizona wanted to talk to me. When they come out, they're asking for the job. And we had a number of people in the search. If we would have had everyone in the search say, I'm happy to be exposed, go ahead and use my name, I'm not worried, I think the Regents would have said, let's bring three or four people to campus. So there's not an inherent desire of the Regents to hide anything from the public. I think we're trying to manage a process in the best way to get the best result.
But what's the difference between announcing two names and then choosing one versus, say, announcing three or four names, bringing them all to campus, letting people meet them, and then announcing the one? Is there really that much exposure, additional exposure for those candidates?
We had other top prospects that dropped out. I'm very comfortable that who we chose, Dr. Robbins, was the very best pick. But we had other people that were in the process to close to the very end who dropped out when we said, can we bring you to campus? Can the Regents interview you? You know, the way we interpret the court case from the Supreme Court is if the Regents interview a candidate, a quorum of the Regents, not even all the Regents, but a quorum of the Regents interview a candidate, then that person, that prospect becomes someone that we need to release their name. So we tell everyone, if you want to make it to the end of the process, you wouldn't get the job unless all the Regents interview you. And to do that means your name will be released to the public.
All right, we're going to take a break. Take a break right here. Rick Meyer, stick around another segment with you. And we're going to take our first break of the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. We'll be right back with Rick Myers of the Arizona Board of Regents. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein, plus the monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, and we've got worldwide live listening, podcasts, and pretty much 6 years of programs archived at my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition with you. However, you may be listening Saturday afternoon, because the program does repeat at Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock on KVOI. During this segment, we had hoped to have the new University of Arizona President-designate, Dr. Robert Robbins, the chief executive of the Houston-based Texas Medical Center. He is the choice of the Arizona Board of Regents due to a scheduling conflict. Dr. Robbins had to back out at about 10 o'clock this morning. Rick Myers is with us on the live line. Mr. Myers, one of the members of the Arizona Board of Regents who represents the Southern Arizona area. Linda Valdez is with me in studio from the Arizona Republican. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. During the break, one of our listeners, Rick Myers, asked about other than Texas connections, could you talk a little bit about Dr. Roberts, perhaps his other areas that he has worked in.
Good. No, I'm happy to. You know, here you have a gentleman that grew up in a small town in Mississippi and ended up becoming a leading heart surgeon at Stanford University. And he has so well connected himself to people across the world, both in business and academia. He recently was one of the U.S. representatives in Davos, Switzerland, at the Worldwide Economic Forum. Dr. Davos is very active in the sports community. He's good friends with the commissioner of the NFL. He's a big sports fan, so he's anxious to watch the Wildcats get to the Final Four here in the March Madness. He's connected with scientists around the world through his own research in stem cells and cardiac care. He's connected to business leaders. He was meeting with the CEO of IBM and General Electric just a few weeks ago and discussing if he got this job, he was going to be calling them up and seeing how they could better help U of A to achieve some of its goals. So what we have here is a gentleman that is of great intellect, great compassion, great charisma. And he's connected himself to movers and shakers around the world, but he's also somebody that has spent his life working with students, being a mentor to students, working with undergraduate education. So he's a special human being that is approachable by everyone, but knows how to get things done and bring people who matter to the equation to accomplish really significant things.
Let's bring Dan Scheer back into the conversation.
Rick, nobody likes to talk about infrastructure, but it's so important. What kind of shape are we in at the three universities, and what's being done about it?
We're in good shape, and we're in bad shape. So you see a lot of new buildings, and those are in good shape, but there's a lot of deferred maintenance. And, you know, I'm a strong supporter of what the governor recommended, which is to allow the universities not to pay sales tax. You know, we're one of only about five states that actually charge universities a sales tax. And by freeing up that $30 million a year that the universities would be able to keep, we'd be able to bond with that and generate about $1 billion. And we have about $1 billion of deferred maintenance across the three universities. So I'm very much hopeful the governor with the legislature will be able to get this budget in a position where we can have that certainty. We can start repairing some of the aging facilities. Now, in addition to what we would spend that money on, there's other things where we would go after more donors. You know, look at the football stadium at U of A. We love it. We love the Wildcats, but, you know, that's an old building. And it's going to have to be replaced here in the next decade, and it's going to have to be brought up to modern standards. And again, with his connections, we believe that Dr. Robbins is going to help us on the donor side and reaching out to new donors. You know, we've had a great set of donors who went to U of A, who had kids that went to U of A. But there are people that should be supporting this university because of the great work it can do. And we believe Dr. Robbins is going to bring a new set of people who may not have a current personal relationship with U of A, but are going to want to put their money here because we match up with what their personal desires are. And we're working on the kind of problems that they want to see solved. So I know the foundation at U of A is excited about how he'll expand the horizon of people that they can deal with.
All right, here's Linda Valdez.
Yes, a couple of earlier in the year, there were concerns raised by some of the students that are part of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program about Border Patrol being on campus. And there was a request made that the campuses become sanctuary campuses and try to secure raise the comfort level of DACA students and undocumented students and refugees. What happened to that request?
We always listen to the students and we listen to their concerns. And I know this Board of Regents absolutely has compassion for what these young people and their families are going through. And I would just simply say we follow the law. When the ruling from a judge said that we could look at the DACA students as having legal presence in the country, we were able to offer in-state tuition for that set of students. So in all cases, we follow the law. We're not out to single out any particular group and in any way try to hurt them or cause them concern. But we are going to follow the law, and within the law, we're going to do everything we can to create a safe environment.
So was there a specific response to that request?
All requests that come in are responded to. I mean, this Board of Regents, I don't think, is going to designate anything with any particular name, because we're going to honor the law, and we're going to do what law enforcement needs to be done to do that. But we're also not going to be seeking out to hurt any particular group. And we value the DACA students that are on our campuses.
All right, let's go to our live line. One of our listeners would like to join in the conversation. I believe this is Ingrid. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi. I just want to say something very quickly. Mm-hmm. My name is Ingrid Saber. I'm the treasurer of the Pima Association of Taxpayers, and I bumped into something unpleasant, and I may bring it up at our next board meeting. It has to do with the University of Arizona's connection with the National Institute of Civil Discourse, or more commonly referred to as NICD. And its president is Carolyn Lukensmeyer. The university is involved with it directly and indirectly.
Okay. Well, do you have a question?
I need for the gentleman to look into this. I already contacted the general counsel, and I left a message with Dr. Hart.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your statement. Go ahead, Rick Myers.
All right, and I'll just take a note here. I will certainly talk to the general counsel. I don't know that particular organization. I do know we very much value free speech, and our universities work with a lot of people from a lot of different segments of society, and all ideas and all positions should be heard. So I don't know this particular situation, but I will follow up.
I believe that was the organization that was formed in the wake, Dan Scheer, of the, Gabrielle Giffords shooting.
Here. And Ron Barber is involved in it.
And Ron Barber as well.
Oh,
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, for the first time in a while, it seems like we have a little bit of serious discussion in the legislature about funding universities at higher levels. Do you think in any way, shape, or form, the higher funding, if it happens, would translate into a cut in tuition?
No, because I don't anticipate it would be that high. But let me put it this way. The general fund, if you take away the medical school, if you take away the support for the ag extensions, which are separately funded, all the money we get from the general fund goes to offset the cost for in-state student tuition. Right now, the state is subsidizing, if you will, in-state students at about a third of the cost to educate them. And they're not providing anything for out-of-state students. And we've asked as a Board of Regents that our goal at the state be to get 50% of the cost to educate in-state students funded by the state. And that would require a few hundred million dollars more a year from the state to support education at that level. 7-8 years ago, the state was funding at 70% of the cost to educate an in-state student. And we've also agreed we would have metrics, we would have transparency, so people could see that we're educating in an efficient way. Right now, when we look at the peer universities, our three universities, our cost per degree is in the bottom third. So not that we're perfect and not that you won't find, you know, things that aren't as efficient as they should be, but in general, we're among the most efficient universities versus our peer group in providing degrees, and our funding is towards the bottom as well. So we're only getting a third of that cost reimbursed from the state. So I would hope as the state could fund more, we certainly could avoid tuition increases in the future, and perhaps someday if the state would provide enough funding, I would love to see tuition go down. Now, I'd also make the comment that we provide significant financial aid. It's also self-funded. Our state's one of the few states that doesn't have a state-based financial aid program. And if you look at the tuition at U of A, for instance, it's about $11,000 per year. The average in-state student's only paying about $4,000, and a number of those are paying less than that. And that's after federal Pell money, and that's after the needs-based and merit-based tuition assistance scholarship that we give. So while tuition has gone up, access to our universities, the demographics, the diversity of our universities has also gotten better. So the model isn't where I want it to be, because I don't think tuition can keep going up without there being fallout and major repercussions, but we tried to balance it as best we could.
Regarding the efficiencies among universities, a couple of years ago we interviewed you and we were talking about duplication of programs at the three state universities and how, you know, possibly if there were some consolidation that would save money. Has anything been done on that, or how is it reviewed and how often is it reviewed to just avoid duplication that, you know, for example, do we need three music programs, you know, one at each of the universities, that type of stuff?
Yeah, I remember talking to you, Dan, about that a couple of years ago. We do have an academic affairs committee. We do look on an annual basis at the programs. We talk to the provosts. We talk to the presidents. And we try to avoid redundancy or duplication that is not needed. And, you know, part of this is we're unlike many states in the fact that we only have the three physical locations. We only have the three major universities. You go to Pennsylvania, there's like 27 different universities. And there are a lot of our students that are geographic bound that aren't able to just go someplace. And so some of these degrees, you know, engineering up at NAU, we try to make sure that, yes, there's engineering there, but the focus of that engineering is in areas of engineering that's very useful to that that geographic location. They do a lot with forestry. They do a lot with civil engineering. You know, so we try to make sure, even though some of these things may look redundant, the emphasis might be stronger in one area, one university versus the other. But we do want to make sure that we have access so that any of our students anywhere in the state can get a degree program that meets their personal needs.
All right, I've only got about a minute left, but Dr. Roberts has said that he would like to be at least 10 years at the University of Arizona, maybe even 15. The U of A has had four presidents over the past 20 years. So when contract negotiations, I assume, are underway right now, are you looking at somewhat of a long-term deal, Rick?
Well, you know, state law doesn't let anyone have a contract beyond 5 years.
Okay.
And typically a new president would get a three-year contract, and then that contract could certainly be extended. But I think right now our football coach and basketball coach and the president of ASU might be the only three people that have a five-year contract. So our state law doesn't allow us to give extended contracts.
All right, Rick Myers, thank you very much, Rick, for spending part of your lunch hour with us. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, thank you and Linda and Dan very much.
Thanks a lot. Rick Myers, a member of the Arizona Board of Regents. He is one of the Southern Arizona representatives on the board, which oversees the three state universities here in Arizona. We'll be right back. Dan and Linda, stick around as well. It is the Buckmaster Friday Roundtable next.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable. Dan Scheer, editor, Green Valley News, Sahrita Sun, Linda Valdez, the editorial, one of editorial writers on the Arizona Republic staff. She also is a columnist, and she'll be writing about this, our conversation, not just our conversation, but this whole idea with the new U of A president designate. I think that's how we would term him, Linda Valdez. And to Rick Meyer's credit, he did admit to your question that it was a mistake not to make an announcement for a new university president on the University of Arizona campus.
He did.
With Old Main in the background.
Exactly.
Think of the visuals.
He did, but it was rather shocking that he was also surprised by the question. I mean, how could anyone not understand how important the U of A is to Tucson and how important Tucson it would be to have the next president designate of the U of A introduced in Tucson, to the Tucson community. I mean, it's not just an oversight. It's an egregious oversight and utterly unsensitive to the whole history of the two cities and the two universities.
Well, as somebody who came from the Phoenix area and realizing that it does dominate in many ways, but you also realize, because I went to U of A, that there's something down here and that it's very important, and that every time you make a slip up like that, it resonates a lot down here. But does it really resonate up there? It's very interesting when you look at companies and they're deciding, or universities, and deciding whether to expand. And we had one toying with Tucson a couple of years ago, and they decided that first they were going to go into the East Valley of the Phoenix area, which, look at it, the East Valley up there has, you know, 1.5, 1.8 million people, almost double the size of entire Pima County. So you do understand the focus on that area, but it's easy to feel like you're forgotten down here.
Well, and it's all, and they do forget us because the story about the announcement was very small in Phoenix.
Sure.
It was big news in Tucson. So they didn't even notice. It's not like they even gloated about it.
And this whole search committee process has a lot of people here in Tucson riled up, Dan Scheer and David Couillier, the head of the U of A journalism department, was here a week ago, was my guest, and he was talking about the open meeting law. I believe in the Constitution that in 1993, the case revolved around the Arizona Board of Regents and a presidential search.
Exactly, and so I think what he was saying is that unfortunately there, according to the way that U of A was, or the Regents were interpreting it, there's a little bit of wiggle room that allowed them just to write their own rules on this. We fully understand what Rick just laid out for us as far as candidates coming in here and feeling this exposure and everything, but there is an overwhelming interest, particularly in Tucson, which the Tucsonans seem to be much more engaged with their community than I saw up in the Phoenix area. They want to know, and this is going to be a powerful figure in their community, and they at least want to hear him, talk to him, see what he's all about before you know, the decision is made. And like I said, at Oakland University, they brought in the three final candidates. People could go in there and talk to them, ask them questions. That's the way it should have been done here. I don't think that's asking too much.
And Rick did say this is the process for land-grant universities, and Oakland University, they would say, he would say Oakland University, which I believe is in Detroit,
right,
is not a land-grant university. I don't think it is.
And what I'm saying is what's best for the community. And,
right.
And you know, when you have Greg Patterson, head of the region, saying that this was an open and inclusive process, no, it wasn't. And it most certainly was not transparent.
Well, and to have one finalist is also a rather absurd idea. It's like TUSD did with Sanchez. You know, it's not a finalist. It's the guy who's going to get the job, and that again, it really cuts out the university, the faculty, the students, and the community from the opportunity to meet a number of different candidates and vet them.
And I had been hearing for months about there were two very strong candidates at the University of Arizona with a lot of support among faculty and students, that folks were really hoping that they would get a shot. And perhaps maybe it is an oversight not at least having an internal candidate as one of the two finalists.
Well, you would think, and that's, again, is the problem with a process that was so opaque. We don't know. Perhaps they dropped out. Perhaps mm-hmm. they weren't interested. We don't know that, and we have no way of knowing that.
And I'll say, Bill, that even in very simple things, for instance, a couple of years ago, Sarita chose a new police chief, and we had the three candidates come in. Before one had even stepped through the door, we had uncovered, the newspaper had uncovered a huge scandal that he had been involved in. I knew the second he walked through the door that it was not going to happen. But right. I'll tell you what, it took the newspaper to reveal that. I don't know why the town didn't figure it out before we did, because it's all there on Google. But that was part of the process, is that you bring in these three people. They had a public forum. The community came and met the candidates. And then you whisper in your favorite council member's ear who you like, who you don't like. That's really the way it should be done. Why? Because the police chief is a key position in our community, too, also very powerful and influential. So they did it right.
And I would think TUSD is going to be hopefully having a very open process. That would be my wish anyway, for the next superintendent, because the search will be underway. I mean, they have not even named yet an interim. So
this is true. I mean, this whole idea that Rick Myers laid out about how you can't reveal the names of people or you won't get good candidates is an excuse that's widely used. And I'm sure there's some legitimacy to it. But as Dan pointed out, there's an overriding concern, the public's right to know. And that applies to TUSD as well. So I hope they do make it an open process, and I hope they come up with more than one finalist.
You'll be talking at the book fair. Are you hosting a panel, Linda?
No, I am on two different panels. One is Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and that's a panel talking about giving voices to the unheard, and I'm there as the author of my book because it gives voices to the unheard in a way. And then at 10 o'clock on Sunday, I will also be part of a panel talking about humanity behind the headlines, and this is how journalists cover immigration. So I hope everyone comes and joins us. It should be very interesting and a lot of fun.
Linda is the author of Crossing the Line, A Marriage Across the Border. And speaking of the border, Linda, the number of undocumented migrants crossing the border has really hit a five-year low. What do you attribute that to?
That's a good question.
I mean, the White
House. You just left me speechless.
Yes,
the White House is claiming credit for
yes,
that.
Yes, they are.
The numbers have been going down mm-hmm. steadily.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico has been more vigilant on its southern border in trying to limit the number of people that get across from Central America. I think Mexico's economy is also doing better than it has been doing in some time. So the whole dynamic behind undocumented immigration is changing. And I think that the numbers have been going down for some time, so I don't think we can attribute this to Mr. Trump's tough talk.
And I would agree with that. And we have been, you know, we own the Nogales International. We hear a lot from what's going on down there. For years, it's been going down.
Mm-hmm. And that's been the trend line.
No, and we have to admit, SB 1070 definitely had a chilling effect on some of it. But there's lots of different things that came in, and none of them happened in just the last 6 weeks.
Hey, congratulations to Pima Community College getting the accreditors to pretty much sign off. They're off the probation, and that is really good news for the community.
They do such terrific work in this community. I'm actually going to go tour one of the campuses next week. Looking forward to that, and this is kind of a monkey off their back, and we'll see if they can get moving.
And we had Dr. Ian Rourke, who heads up economic development. He's the vice president for Pima, and we had him on yesterday, just as that announcement was coming in. And he says the timing is excellent because Linda and Dan next week is a really big deal for economic development in our community. The site selectors, these are the people who choose where businesses will be locating. It's a guild, actually, called Site Selectors. They're meeting at the JW Marriott here in Tucson. For Tucson, this is a huge deal to show off our community to the people who make these decisions on where businesses locate
or
relocate.
Exciting, yeah.
Yeah. So the timing for Pima was really good right there. All right. Linda, good luck at the Tucson Festival of Books this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
And Dan, I hope you enjoy your weekend, whatever you have planned.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental and Commerce Bank of Arizona. Be sure to bookmark your calendar for the Tucson Festival of Books, March 11th through 12th. The Tucson Festival of Books is a literary extravaganza, attracting 130,000 book lovers to the beautiful U of A Mall and nearby venues for exhibits, author presentations, and panel discussions. The Tucson Festival of Books is very grateful for the generosity of all of our sponsors. All proceeds from the festival are directed to improving literacy rates in our local communities. Please join us as a sponsor and to make Tucson and Southern Arizona well-read. For sponsorship opportunities, visit us online at TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org. That's TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at GiveLocalKeepLocal.org. That's GiveLocalKeepLocal.org.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Weekend watch time with Mr. Matt Russell inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive, easy drive really, over to Silver City, beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. We urge you to check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of several dozen things to do, many recreation opportunities, including the Pinos Altos area, a really nice little one-time mining ghost town that is thriving now in Silver City. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, and the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Matt Russell, who always has a great happy hour pick for us.
I do indeed, Bill. Now check this out. The Old Martin Drug Company was the original tenant in the building on the southeast corner of Congress and 5th Street until around the 1950s. It actually was Tucson's first general store and pharmacy, but was replaced over the years by restaurants and retail outlets until it closed last year. But history has come alive again. Downtown's hottest new cocktail lounge is open for business in that very space with the name, wait for it, the Martin Drug Company.
There you go.
This place is a throwback to mid-century America in every sense, Bill. You're going to enjoy cocktails of the era like the Negroni, the Singapore Sling, along with some other delicious bites. Happy hour starts at 4 o'clock today to kick off the weekend. It's going to be fun.
We've been talking all week, Matt, here on the show about the Tucson Festival of Books. What a successful venture now in its 9th year.
The fourth largest book festival in the country, and of course, the culinary stage is where you're going to find me. What a surprise. Local chefs, including Ryan Clark of Casino del Sol, Devin Sanner of the Carriage House, and Brian Smith of Maynard's Kitchen, they're all going to be matched up throughout the weekend with famous authors demonstrating some of their techniques in the books. Now, I learn something new every year at the Tucson Festival of Books, and I always come hungry, so meet me on the mall for some food and fun this weekend.
We will see you out there. What about any activities at some of our fine vineyards around town?
Yeah, you know what? If you've ever wondered how winemakers prune their vines in a way that yields the finest fruit, I say head out to Carlson Creek Vineyard in Wilcox tomorrow for their second annual pruning seminar and bonfire from 5 to 8 p.m. You're going to get a private lesson on pruning the vines from the winemakers themselves, followed by servings of crunchy and gooey s'mores around a roaring bonfire. They're going to pair that with some of the Carlson Creek wines and some other snacks, all for just $25 per person. I say let the pruning and wine pouring commence.
There you go. Going to be a big weekend. Have fun out at the Tucson Festival of Books. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Coming up on Sunday, Liberty Watch, Sunday morning at 11, author Stuart Taylor on his new book called The Campus Rape
crisis frenzy about the attack against due process and sorting out the truth in such accusations. Then at 12 o'clock, the subject will be fatal traffic investigations. Are Tucson streets getting less safe? Those shows, Charles Heller ably hosting those shows Sunday morning and early Sunday afternoon. All right, time to thank some people who do such a great job for us here at KVOI. Tom Fairbanks, you're at the top of the list today, my friend, for your fine engineering and producing on Friday. And of course, Ray Allen sits where Tom is sitting right now, Monday through Thursday. Ray, our operations manager, does a great job. We want to tell you the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. Also, on behalf of our my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, who makes sure our podcasts get up in such a timely fashion. Thank you, Rose. Original theme music by the fine young German composer Christophan. You can find out more about him and his music at buckmastershow.com. So on behalf of all of us here at Good News Communications, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening and a good weekend.